DC is off today, so I will take you solo. Great to be with you here on this Wednesday. Boy, hard to believe that 2 weeks from tonight, the Sacramento Kings open up the regular season. Still can't really wrap my head around that, considering that there are still five preseason games remaining. And tonight, you know, we talk about what's going to happen this weekend, and then the Kings play next weekend, and then boom, you get ready for the regular season. Hey, coming up on the show today, Willie Cauley-Stein will join us at 4. We'll talk about the Raiders and their situation at 4:30 with Lincoln Kennedy. We'll have the Landry football report with Chris Landry. And then how about the NHL season beginning tonight? The San Jose Sharks in action tonight. We'll talk with the only voice that they have had, Dan Ruzanowski. That's going to be coming up in the fourth hour of the show. And as always, we welcome your phone calls at 339-1140. That's 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. The National League wild card game tonight with the Rockies and the D-backs start in about 2 hours. The good news is the American League wild card game, or I should say the game that started yesterday at 5 o'clock Pacific, yeah, it did end. We didn't think that game was going to end. Nearly 4 hours after it began, it did end. Do you care about the length of these games? You probably don't care if you're living on this side of the country, all right? You probably care if you're living on the East Coast and the game ends at midnight on a Tuesday. You're probably a little bit bothered by that. That is if you have a life. But I don't have any solution. I mean, I know that, you know, people say, well, they, you know, it's because of the relief pitchers. And all right, do the relief pitchers really need that many warm-up pitches when they get to the hill? If a quarterback gets hurt in the NFL and his replacement comes in, or, I mean, do they get a chance to go onto the field and throw the ball around? They might get a couple of quick tosses on the sideline. But I don't know. I don't have the answers. Normally I would like to say, well, I have the answer. I don't really have the answer. And then the second part of that is it an issue to where fans are like, you know what, this is not working for me. And I'm not so sure. Now, the ratings in baseball have not been great, all right? And especially when they go head-to-head with the NFL, it's pretty easy to see which sport people are gravitating to. I mean, that's pretty easy. So I just would be curious to know if you feel the baseball games are too long and something needs to be done about that. All right. I talk about this about every year, and it is the it comes out right before the season. And it has to do with the annual NBA general manager survey. All right. Now, I would also tell you, and John Schumann of NBA.com is the one that puts this out. All right. Now, I don't know. If the general managers really do this survey, or do they hand it to an assistant or an intern and go, hey, fill this out? All right, so let's just keep that in mind. All right, this year, according to the survey, general managers think the Golden State Warriors are going to win the NBA championship. 93% of NBA general managers say Golden State, and only 7% Cleveland. And you know what's really sad about this? And I talk about this, unfortunately, too often right now. The NBA is a tremendous league. The ratings are tremendous. The attendance, the revenue, it's all very high. Is it bad? I'm going to ask this question. Is it bad when the 30 general managers feel that there's only two teams capable of winning out of all the teams? And by the way, you could not vote for your team. Think about this. 30 teams in a league, and there are only two teams that general managers think are capable of winning it all. Is that bad for the league? Like, if you had that same question at the beginning of football season, it would be a hell of a lot more than two. Baseball, heck of a lot more than two. Hockey, probably 15 teams you could say could win the cup. All right, let's go over a couple more, all right? Who's going to be the MVP this year? 50% of the GM said LeBron, 29% said Durant, which I thought was interesting. All right, now, this is the one that I find fascinating. The question was, if you were starting a franchise today and could sign any player in the NBA, who would it be? 29% said Karl Anthony Towns. Who do you think was second on this list? Wrong. It was Giannis Antetokounmpo. 21%. Think about that for a minute. If you could sign and start a franchise today and sign any player, 29% picked Towns, 21% picked Antetokounmpo, 18% took LeBron James, 14% Kawhi Leonard, 11% Kevin Durant. Interesting, huh? All right, let's go over positions. Who's the best point guard in the NBA? According to the 30 general managers, 62% said Steph Curry. 28% Russell Westbrook, 7% Chris Paul, 3% John Wall. By the way, last year, 63%, all right, 63% had Curry as the best point guard in the NBA. All right, let's move along. Best shooting guard in the NBA. This was a landslide. 83% James Harden. 10% Klay Thompson. By the way, last year, Harden got 57%. This year, he starts the season with 83%. Who's the best small forward in the NBA? LeBron, 61%. Kevin Durant, 32%. Kawhi Leonard, 7%. Last year, LeBron received 77% of the vote. All right, who's the best power forward in the NBA? Anthony Davis. A wide margin, 41%. It's interesting that LeBron James received 28% when he just received 61% of the small forward vote. Kevin Durant, 17%, whereas as a small forward, 32%. I mean, it's a little odd. All right, who's the best center in the NBA? No, it's not DeMarcus Cousins. I could have told you that. Karl Anthony Towns, 28%, number one. Anthony Davis, New Orleans, 24%. Marc Gasol, Memphis, 21%. And then Cousins was fourth, 14%. All right, here's some interesting moves, or interesting votes, in my opinion. What was the most underrated player acquisition? Think about this for a minute. What was the most underrated player acquisition? Paul Millsap, Denver, 24%. Avery Bradley, Detroit, 17%. Jimmy Butler and Jay Crowder, third. Are you ready for this? Guess who do you think was after Jimmy Butler and Jay Crowder as the most underrated player acquisition, according to NBA general managers? He plays for Sacramento. All right, so I'm going to give you a little hint. The most underrated player acquisition from the Sacramento Kings, Bogdan Bogdanovic. He and Rudy Gay tied for fifth. Very interesting, huh? I thought that jumped out at me. Which team will be the most improved in 2017-18? Most agree Minnesota at nearly 70%. All right, let's get to rookies. 62% of the GMs think Lonzo Ball is going to be the rookie of the year. 24% think Ben Simmons will. 7%. Dennis Smith Jr. of Dallas, De'Aaron Fox, and Jason Tatum also received votes. Last year, by the way, general managers were way, 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 way off. They had Chris Dunn, 47%, and he was awful last year. All right? Now, here's something that I was puzzled by. I was puzzled by not seeing this name on here. Which rookie will be the best player in 5 years? Josh Jackson, 24%. Markel Fultz and Jason Tatum, 21. Lonzo Ball and Ben Simmons, 14. De'Aaron Fox did not even receive any votes. I'll tell you this. Had the GMs been watching the game Monday night against the Spurs, I know it's preseason. I get that. They might change their mind a little bit. But anyway, I thought that was interesting. According to general managers, they talked about the rookie that was the biggest deal of where he was selected in the draft. Dennis Smith Jr., Dallas, 37%. And Kyle Kuzma, who was taken 27th in the first round by the Lakers, 22%. I thought that I might see Harry Giles' name on there. I don't see it. I don't see it. Who's the best international player in the NBA? Giannis Antetokounmpo, Milwaukee, 69%, followed by Jokic, Gasol, and Porzingis. So it's just some pretty interesting things. Best defensive player, Kawhi Leonard, 62%. Best perimeter defender, Kawhi Leonard, 72%. Best interior defender, Rudy Gobert, 66%. Who do you think they said was the best defensive team in the NBA? How about Golden State, 55%? Coaches, Pop, 82%. I mean, I don't think anyone would be surprised there. So what did you think about any of these? Oh, you know what else is interesting? Which active player will make the best head coach someday? Chris Paul, 39%. Ginobili, 14%. And guess what? Garrett Temple of the Kings and Steph Curry, they were third on that list at 7%. Vince Carter also received some votes. Very interesting. Which team is the most fun to watch? Golden State, 90%. Which team has the best home court advantage? Golden State, 76%. Yeah, you know why they have the best home court advantage? Because they have the best team. Duh. Which player is the most athletic? Westbrook, 62%. Which player is the best pure shooter in the league? Curry, 71%. Which player is the fastest with the ball? John Wall, 48%. Again, they haven't seen De'Aaron Fox yet. Which player is the best passer in the league? LeBron James, 36%. What bench player makes the biggest impact when he enters the game? Andre Iguodala, 41%. Who's the toughest player in the NBA? Steven Adams and Draymond Green and Kawhi Leonard, all getting 14% of the vote. LeBron with 10, Tony Allen with 7, along with Russell Westbrook. Which player is the best leader? LeBron, 43%. Who's the most versatile player in the NBA? LeBron, 55%, followed by Durant and Leonard of 14%. Which basketball player has the best IQ? LeBron, 64%. Which player would you want taking a shot with the game on the line? Steph Curry, 55%, Durant, 34%. By the way, LeBron got 3% of the vote. Steph Curry last year, by the way, got 76%. All right, what rule most needs to change? They said the playoff seeding, number one, 27%. So I just wanted to run off some of those numbers and hear from you at 339-1140. Again, that's 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Don't forget Willie Cauley-Stein. He is going to be coming on at 4 o'clock. Let's get to Fuller. What's up, Fuller? Fuller, you there? Fuller! Wake up and go to sleep! 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Tonight, 5 o'clock, Colorado at Arizona. And I'm curious, when you look at Zach Greinke, who is a veteran ace, going against Nolan Arenado, going against Charlie Blackmon, who's going to win this game tonight? What do you think? Who's going to be the big, and again, the game last night, to think that it was 3-0 after a half inning and then 3-3 after one inning is unbelievable. Who do you like tonight in that game with Arizona and Colorado? I got to go with Arizona with Greinke on the hill personally, but I think this is going to be a very close game. And I thought last night was going to be a close game. And then, you know, again, if you don't have the lead against the Yankees, you know, after six innings, you're probably not going to win the game. You're probably not going to win the game. And Joe Girardi did a masterful job with his pitching staff last night. I don't think anyone can fault that. The Yankees are a better team than Minnesota, period. I mean, that's just the way it is. They're not better than Cleveland. And I don't think they will beat Cleveland. I just don't. I think Cleveland is going to face Houston in the ALCS. I'm looking at Houston. I look at their pitching staff. You know, I look at their star players. I look at the year they had. I like the fact that they played, you know, very well coming down the stretch in September. Let's get to Kenny. How are you, Kenny?
I'm doing pretty good, sir. How about yourself?
What's happening?
Well, I was just calling. You said Fox wasn't in the running for Rookie of the Year?
Correct.
Oh, man. I watched him on Monday. I got to go to the game for my birthday. A buddy of mine got me tickets. He's just crafty around the hoop and super quick. Great defense, too.
Yeah, and you know what? Again, I personally, I like to see personal awards, but I'm not going to get bent out of shape if he wins Rookie of the Year or not. I would like to see him, but what I want is, you know, to know that at the end of this year and 3 years from now, that he is an upper echelon point guard. That's what that's the forecast I have for De'Aaron Fox.
Hey, I got one more question for you, if you don't mind.
Yeah, of course.
Hey, and I'll take the answer off the air. Watching the game on Monday, just seeing the rookies that you guys have, I love Mason. He reminded me a lot of Thomas. Tell me your thoughts on that.
I love everything about him. There's nothing I don't like about Frank Mason. I think that, you know, he right now, okay, right now can play every night. Now, I don't know if he will play every night because of the logjam in the backcourt when you look at George Hill, De'Aaron Fox, Buddy Hield, and Bogdanović. All right? There aren't a lot of teams that play five guards every night. And so I there's no question he can play, and that's going to be very interesting. I think this Friday in San Antonio – is going to tell us a lot more because Dave Yeager was on with me and Doug yesterday, and he said he's not playing the vets. You know, well, he said the older players. That means Carter Randolph on Friday. He's playing the young guys. So, you know, these are the type of games where if you're a Frank Mason, you know, and you can just talk about anything, you know, these are the type of games that you can really show the coach that, hey, I need to be in the rotation every night. Let's get to Jackson. Hello, Jackson.
Hey, Grant, how are you?
Good. What's happening?
And then I really enjoyed that list, by the way. And one thing I want to ask is, you said Steph Curry got, I think it was 63% of the best pure shooter vote.
Yep.
I would just like to know who else got some of the vote, because that's kind of clear cut to me that he's obviously the best shooter.
Okay, so you don't have any issue with that, right?
Correct. I think he should be 100% best shooter.
Oh, you think it should be 100%?
Yes, but so I would like to know who else got votes.
All right, I'll look it up for you. So before I tell you, okay, knowing what I told you, who do you think is second on the list? Just take a guess. Honestly, who do you think is second on that list?
I think the second person on the list, I'll give you a couple. It's either Kyle Korver, J.J. Redick, or Kevin Durant. It's one of those three.
Okay. And
or Klay Thompson, actually.
What's that now?
I said or Klay Thompson could probably be the second best.
All right. All right, so here it is. You ready?
Yes.
And again, think about what Steph Curry, his percentage was pretty much almost the same as a year ago. I think it was off by what? I was off by one? I think it was I was off by 1%. So I mean that's
no.
That's,
I think it was 77 as opposed to 63, right? Or was that the? I think that was the best point guard poll. I could be getting the numbers wrong.
All right, I'll get you right here. Okay, so God, I just lost it. Give me 1 second here. I'm going to get it right back for you here. Okay, here we go. All right. So, what player is the best pure shooter? Curry, 71%. Last year, you're right, he was 60. Klay Thompson, second on that list at 25%. And they had Devin Booker, third at only 4%.
See, I disagree with that one.
Okay, tell me who you like.
I think Kevin Durant should probably be third on that list. Well, I mean, I guess you could say Kyle Korver should probably be. But Devin Booker is not as good of a shooter as Kevin Durant, Kyle Korver, J.J. Redick. You could even make the argument he's not as good of a shooter as Kawhi Leonard. Like, I don't think he's in the top three best shooters in the league.
All right, fair enough. Hey, I really appreciate it, Jackson. Thanks for the call.
You got it.
All right, take care. You know, and again, I don't know how many of the 30 general managers really do this themselves, or are they handed off to an assistant or an intern or something. I don't know the answer. I've only heard rumblings in the past that some GMs go, I'm not doing this. But, you know, if we knew exactly how many, then, you know, I think it would be, I think it's interesting anyway. I just think it's always interesting to see, you know, how they perceive certain players. Like, for instance, Steven Adams. You know, I agree with that. Toughest player in the NBA, Draymond Green, Kawhi Leonard. I don't have any issue with that. I would put those guys up there. No doubt about it. Let's get to Fuller. Hello, Fuller.
Hey, sorry about that earlier, Grant.
What's happening?
We got a speed baseball up. It's just too slow. And I've got some ideas I wanted to run by.
Well, good, because I want a solution, so help me out.
Okay, first one is the computer is going to call the strikes from now on because the umps do not give the high strike.
Yeah, see, then I'm turning the game off. I won't watch it. You've just lost one baseball fan. I'm telling you, I will not watch it. If they go to an automated strike zone, I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna leave the game for a while. I may come back, I may not, but I will definitely turn the game off. I don't want that.
Okay, well, you're sounding like one of those guys that nothing's going to be because you're such a purist. You've got to listen, just kind of listen to everything. So the next one is the pitch clock. You've got so many seconds between each pitch, and if the batter's not in the box, too bad. The pitcher throws it, it's a strike, it's a ball.
I like that. All right, I'm okay with that.
Okay, and the next one I think you'll like, two warm-up pitches, no matter if you're coming in as a reliever or you're coming in between innings. We got to reduce the time between innings and all the stops in the game.
I'm with you. I have no issue with that at all. So we're two out of three as far as I'm concerned with you. I have no issue with that.
Okay. Well, this one's radical, and it's not my most radical. It's my second most radical, but I know you're not going to like it already. But here it is. It's not fair that a pitcher has to throw 10 strikes to a batter when he can foul off six pitches. Okay. So after you get two strikes, you get one foul ball. And then after that, you hit another foul ball, you're out.
Yeah, I don't like that, and that's never going to happen. And by the way, just one other thing that you said about the automated strike zone, it's been proven that that box you see on TV is inadequate and it's not accurate. And so that's the other issue. They don't have the technology right now to get rid of the home plate umpire and call balls and strikes. The technology does not exist the way you think it does. That box you see when you turn on the game last night or tonight is not an accurate depiction of balls and strikes. It's not.
Yeah, but it's probably just as good, if not better, than an ump who's off to one side of the catcher trying to look over his shoulder at a pitch that's breaking. I mean, really, there's no doubt a computer can call better than a person.
Well, then, you know what? Why don't we have a computer throw the ball instead of a pitcher? Why don't we get a robot out there to throw the ball, too? No, I'm serious. I mean, why don't we get rid of all the officials in sports and just have computers do it? I mean, we could do that, right? I mean, stop it already. Well, and I know, and listen, I'm not criticizing you. There are a lot of people that feel the way you do, all right? But I'm not one of them. And I'm not saying I don't respect your opinion, but I think that a lot of baseball fans would turn off the game. We'll be right back. Back with you here on Sports 1140 KHK. Doug is off. Somebody wants to know how I felt about Marcus Peters of the Chiefs not standing for the national anthem the other night after I talked about it before the game began. I can't remember the other guy's name. There were two players on the Chiefs that sat for the anthem. Nobody on Washington did it.
And I made a comment on Monday. There better not be anybody kneeling or sitting for the national anthem. Okay. So you know what it tells me? It tells me that two of the players on the Kansas City Chiefs are brain dead. That's what it tells me. It tells me that two of the players on the Kansas City Chiefs are completely out of touch with reality. That's what it tells me. It tells me that two players on the Kansas City Chiefs should be freaking ashamed of themselves. Okay. Whereas I think it was a week ago, seven players on the Washington Redskins kneeled during the anthem. On Monday night, none of the Redskins players kneeled. Many were linking arms, grabbing shoulder pads, and showing the unity, considering that we had just gone through one of the worst tragedies that anyone can imagine just a couple of hours before in Las Vegas. All right? I mean, what the hell are you thinking about Marcus Peters? Seriously now, what are you thinking about? I mean, really? You know what? And I was at Golden One Center, and I was watching the game without sound. So I don't know what the fans of Kansas City had to say, but I know what I said, because I said it before it happened. I said on Monday, I better not be seeing anybody kneel or sit during the national anthem. And I said, if you are going to do that, then stay in the locker room and then come out after the anthem. Obviously, that did not happen with two of the Kansas City Chiefs. And you know what I have to say? Shame on them. What a freaking disgrace. Shame on them. That is as bad as it gets. That's as disgraceful as it gets. All right, let's get to Dave. You're on with Grant Napier. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Grant. Thanks for taking the call.
Thank you for calling.
I couldn't agree with you more on that last statement. That was very offensive. It's appalling. And I just wish that the timing of this would just, these guys would lighten up and realize and look at the bigger picture on what's going on. But my comment was about where DeMarcus Cousins ranked on that list. I think he ranked fourth.
Centers in the NBA, he was a fourth. That is correct.
Yeah, I think that just further validates Vlade's decision to trade him, because all we ever heard about was, especially if you listen to DeMarcus Cousins, that he was the best center in the NBA. He was caught up on that, I'm the best center in the NBA. We got all those calls when he got traded earlier this year about how could you trade the best center in the NBA. And I never considered him the best center in the NBA. I considered him a talented player. But I never considered DeMarcus Cousins a superstar, because he doesn't elevate his team. He's more divisive in the locker room. There's a lot of other stuff that goes along with DeMarcus Cousins. So I thought that was telling, and I just thought it further validated Vlade's decision.
Well, I can tell you this. I haven't had one call from anybody in about, what month is this, 10? So I haven't had one call in the last 6, 7, or 8 months from anyone saying the Kings should not have traded DeMarcus Cousins. That's number one. Number two, he didn't make first, second, or third All-NBA team last year. That's number two. Number three, DeMarcus Cousins is delusional if he thinks he's the best center in the NBA. He's absolutely delusional. The guy is a detriment to the players that he plays with in the locker room. He was a detriment here in Sacramento. He's a detriment in New Orleans. He won't even be on New Orleans next year. They will be getting rid of him either before the trade deadline or soon as the regular season ends. All right? You can take that all the way to the bank. And
so
then
you don't think New Orleans is going to step up on a max deal with him?
Hell no. Not
a
chance.
I tend to agree with that. I was just going to, my last comment was.
And let me make one other comment, not to like rehash all of this. The Sacramento Kings are so much better off today than they were 12 months ago. And he's the main reason why they are so much better off today than they were 12 months ago.
Oh, I totally agree. What a difference a year makes, because you think of the optimism this year and the excitement and the build-up to the start of this season. I really think these guys are going to sneak up on some folks. I think the balance is right. They have the veterans, they have the mid-range guys, and then they have the rookies. And it kind of draws some parallels to some of those teams D.C. played on, Doug Christie, where Vlade Vladdy came in, then you had the rookie spark plug in Jay Will that got him going, and I kind of draw some same parallels with this team this year.
Here's the bottom line, and thank you for the call. The Kings weren't going anywhere with DeMarcus Cousins, and so they hit the reset button. Now, they hit it later than they should have, but at least they hit it. Now look at the team. Look at the future of this team. Look at the path that the team is on. Like it's like a whole new franchise. I mean, it's like a whole new franchise. I don't know what else to say. I don't think anybody that was at the game on Monday night, and we're talking about a preseason game, was sitting there going, boy, I really missed DeMarcus Cousins. I don't think anybody that showed up at Golden One Center on Monday was sitting there going, oh, man, I'm not coming anymore because, you know what, I don't like what I see, and they should have never traded DeMarcus. I don't think there's one fan that was sitting there at the Golden One Center on Monday night thinking that. I really don't. And, you know, again, this franchise, I said this the day the trade, I said this before the trade was made. So I said it before they traded him. I have been a proponent of the trade for years. So I don't have any problem going, well, gee, it's hindsight. No, I said it before, I said it the day of, and I said it following the deal. It is so obvious. Like, I don't understand how anyone could see it any differently. I mean, come on now. And as I said, Dave, he didn't even make first, second, or third NBA team last year. He didn't even make it. So if you didn't make the first, second, or third All-NBA team, you can't consider yourself the best center in the NBA. Now, the sad thing is he could become the best center in the NBA, but he won't ever get to that point because he doesn't have the personality and the mental makeup to do it. So it's not going to ever happen, period. Yeah, we're not talking about a guy in his second year. We're talking about a guy that's starting his eighth season, for crying out loud. Eighth season. You are who you are when you get to your eighth season in the NBA. It's not like you wake up and you go to training camp and you're a whole different guy in your eighth year. No. Pretty obvious. All right, if you want to call the show, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. And, you know, again, if you disagree with me on either that or two of the Chiefs sitting on a Monday night after one of the most tragic evenings that this country has ever witnessed, then you know what? Then maybe I'm out of touch with reality. But I said before the game started on Monday, I didn't want to see anybody sitting down for the national anthem. Well, unfortunately, two Kansas City Chiefs did, which tells me they are absolutely clueless and completely out of touch with what the hell's going on in this country. All right? And I'm not telling you, Marcus Peters, I'm not telling you not to believe what you believe in. But what I'm telling you is there are some things that are bigger than just sitting for the national anthem. You want to go sit next Sunday? Go ahead and sit next Sunday. Don't be sitting on Monday night after what happened in Las Vegas. That is about as bad of a look as you can possibly have. Shame on you and shame on your teammate. So I hope that answered your question via the text line. I hope I answered that okay for you. But that did, I didn't even mention it yesterday because I wasn't going to get into it unless somebody asked me about it. So guess what? You asked me about it, and there you have it. And the thing that I feel confident about is I told you I would be upset before the game began if I saw a player on the Chiefs or the Redskins kneeling or sitting for the anthem. Unbelievable. I mean, seriously, unbelievable. Hey, Marcus Peters, why don't you do me a favor? Why don't you go take about a half hour and read some of the stories coming out of that concert from people and some of the things that they did to help their fellow man, fellow woman they didn't even know. Like, I'm telling you, it will give you chills. And you're sitting for the national anthem? Are you kidding me? Boy, that's bad. Nathan, you're on Sports 1140 KHDK. Hello, Nathan.
Hey, how's it going?
What's happening?
So I was wondering what you thought of the Kings preseason game and how Frank Mason did, which I thought he did great, and Darren Fox went 7-for-8 and was amazing. And I want to hear who you think is going to get or how they're going to compare to each other throughout the year.
That's
Great question, and I don't have the answer, and I don't even think Dave Yeager right now today has the answer. He has an idea, but that's what preseason is for. Call me up and ask me that question 2 weeks from yesterday, and I'll have a better answer. We'll be right back. Rolling right along, Doug Christie off today, so I'm getting you through the afternoon. Willie Cauley-Stein, he'll be coming on at 4 o'clock. That's in the next segment in about 10 minutes from now. Let's get to Tim. You're on Sports 1140 KHDK.
Hey, Grant. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Hey, real quick, as far as Peterson goes, as a veteran, as an American, thank you for your comment. And that's about all I have.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it very much. Thank you for your input. Let's get to Maurice. Hello, Maurice.
Hey, how's it going for you today, sir?
I'm doing well. How about yourself? What can I do for you?
Well, I just wanted to share some, listening to your feelings about the players that took a knee during the national anthem in the Monday night game.
Yes.
And I think, like I stated to the gentleman before, the message is being perceived in the wrong light. Like they said, it's not trying to be disrespectful to the veterans or whatever, and especially with enlightenment to what happened in Las Vegas, you know, all the best wishes and prayers and stuff goes out with the families. But in this country right now, the symbolization of what the flag is supposed to represent for all of us as Americans is not being upheld by too much of anybody out here, not even the people that are supposed to protect and serve us. Like, we have little children.
In your opinion?
Yes.
Right.
Well, no, not in my opinion.
Well, I mean, yes. I mean, in your opinion. There are some that would disagree with you, but you're entitled to your opinion, so go ahead.
Well, yeah, because I'm just stating, when you have people that are getting shot and killed just for, you know, reaching for their driver's license after they state and show you.
Listen, there's nobody I know that is condoning that, okay? I don't know anyone that's condoning that when we have that type of an egregious, sick activity.
But it's also not being stopped.
No, it's not being. You know what? And again, you make a great point. But that what I'm talking about is I understand why the kneeling by Colin Kaepernick started. I understand it. Right. I've also supported him in defending him when people call up irate. I said, listen, he's not against our military and our troops. He's not against all of the. And I understand the distinction. Okay, I get that. All right, I'm understand that. I also want you to know that I don't know who watches a video of an incident that you described, okay? Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter what your ethnicity is. It doesn't matter anything. I don't know anyone that can watch what you're describing and not get sick to their stomach over that. Okay. All right. And I'm talking about.
I just make one last point. Before,
yeah, but let me. I'll give you the time to finish. Here's the point that I made about what happened on Monday night in Kansas City. All right. Seven of the Washington players kneeled last week. They all stood, and Marcus Peters and his teammate sat on the bench. Now, here's the point I was trying to make. I'm not saying that you should not believe something differently, you know, for one night. But what I am saying is, stay in the locker room. I mean, we just had a one of the worst tragedies in the history of our country. It's just Maurice, I'm sorry. It is a really bad, bad look, in my opinion. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, that's why, like I said, I definitely understand what you're saying on that. That's why I said the way that the message is being perceived by the players doing this is not helping the situation at all. I'm all for the free rights, free speech, freedom to express yourself. But if they are really trying to help gather attention to it, that's not the way that it should be done, because it's only getting negative reviews. Look in Boston, Massachusetts, with the Patriots fan burning all of the stuff because the players decided that they thought it was in their best interest to take a knee during the national anthem.
I got you. Hey, I appreciate the phone call. You have a very good afternoon. Let's get to Ernie. Ernie, you're on with Grant Napier.
Hey, Grant, what about Marshawn Lynch doing all his pre-Madonna stuff at the same thing at the Raiders game, the only one doing that, and when they asked for everybody a moment of silence, there he was just hanging on his chair like the prima donna.
You know what? Personally, I don't know how anybody roots for Marshawn Lynch. I've said that when he played with Seattle. I'm saying it now. I don't know how anybody roots for the guy. I really don't. I don't understand why Marshawn Lynch has got the support that he has. I've never understood it. I will never understand it. And, you know, I think right now he may should probably concentrate on trying to get 1 yard. All right? That would be, to me, if I had any advice for Marshawn Lynch, we try to make a yard the next time he carries the football.
Yeah, what was his numbers last time?
They had 24. The team had 24 yards rushing.
Yeah, and he had 9 out of 12 or something like that.
Yeah, and again, and I'm being somewhat cynical here. I mean, one really doesn't have anything to do with the other, but Marshawn Lynch, to me, I have never, ever looked at Marshawn Lynch and said, boy, that's a guy I wish that I could root for. I don't root for Marshawn Lynch.
Thank you. Neither do I. Seattle's probably happy they got rid of him.
Well, I mean, he was very good in Seattle, helped him win when he was, healthy. I mean, the guy is. I can't really ridicule the guy for his football resume. I mean, he's had a very good career, and he was. I don't think he is anymore, but he was a very good running back. I think he's okay now. So, I mean, I'm not going to rip the guy for his football acumen. But as a everything else about Marshawn Lynch, he disgusts me. I mean, I'm just being honest with you. I look at this guy, I don't understand it. I really don't. I don't get it. But I'm just one person. I'm just one person. I don't get it. Willie Cauley-Stein, he's coming up next right here on Sports 1140 KHTK.